Killer Bees, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Let's go straight out to the HRNP guest line, being joined by the great Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. Lee, thank you so much for taking a few minutes. It is March, after all. Let's start with my Houston Cougars. What do you think of the Cougars in this tournament, Lee? Why are you laughing, Lee? This is no joking.
I love madness.
I love
the sound effect. So,
what do you think?
We're just going to anoint them the champions. We're not going to mess around with any formalities. They're the champions. Even play the tournament? And let's just put them in at plus 650. To win, we'll bet like 10 mortgage payments, and the three of us, we don't need to do anything. We can zoom off to an island in the Bahamas.
There he is, Lee Sterling, ladies and gentlemen. We'll talk to him next year during football season. Come on, Lee. We know we got a lot of homers around here, but we're really pulling for the Cougs.
All right, so I've never done a segment where I predicted the winner at the beginning. I do think they're going to win it all. So. Here's why I think this year is different. A couple years ago, when you look at teams, and this is no disrespect to Auburn, Florida, Duke, maybe Michigan State and Tennessee. I think there's truly only about six teams that can win it all. When they played Miami a couple years ago, they couldn't shoot from the field. I mean, they had no confidence at all, and they couldn't shoot free throws. This year, much better, much, much better offensive team, and they not only have, I believe on that team, they didn't have anyone that shot above 70% from the free throw line. They not only have one player, starter, that shoots above 70%, one shoots above 80, another shoots above 90. So, and they got an experienced coach here. So, I'm going to go with Houston, but this still can be a fun tournament and, can be a lot of great games in the first and second round.
Well, there's a lot, Lee, and I find that interesting coming from your perspective as a Florida guy because, man, the Gators have just been on a run. I mean, to get a one seed from where they came from to where they are now and then obviously winning the tournament, a lot of people are jumping on that bandwagon really quickly.
Well, I still think that they have a very good chance to make it to the Final Four, but listen to who they got to play after they dispose of Norfolk State. Probably UConn. I think they'll beat Oklahoma. Then might have to play Maryland or my biggest sleeper in the tournament, Colorado State. Why is Colorado State as a 12 seed, a 2.5-point favorite over Memphis? I heard someone say it's happened one time before, but I can't remember it. Colorado State is that hot. Then they'd have to play, someone like Texas Tech or Maryland from the other side of the bracket. So Florida right now is the hottest team, but, you know, they have a coach also that has not had even one tournament win before. So we like Houston. I think Houston's going to get the job done in the Midwest. They'll probably play Tennessee and but other region, I do think Florida will get there, but they're going to have to go through a landmine to get to the Final Four.
Let's go to the top left bracket, the South region, number one overall seed. Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports joining us on the HRNP guest line. Who do you like in the South region? What are some first-round matchups that you're watching? Who do you think's overrated, underrated in this region, Lee?
All right, so I think Auburn's very good, but are they really the best team overall? They've lost three of the last four games. I think this is the one seed and one region we may not see a one seed. I think Michigan State's got a good chance here. If they can just shoot a little bit better from the three-point line, they can do it. Iowa State, you know, the injuries have really derailed them. Texas A&M is a four seed. I mean, really, they're horrible. Offensive efficiency the last six games, I think, will do them in. Louisville probably should have been the five or six seed here. Tough matchup for Auburn in the second game, probably. But here's my upset here. Underrated, San Diego. Not San Diego State, UC San Diego. They are plus 2.5 against Michigan in the first round. I think these Michigan kids, they had no idea. They weren't expecting to win the Big Ten. They're probably, everyone can tell you what their ring size is. They're so excited they won the Big Ten. You think they're studying film of UC San Diego real hard? Guess again. Give me Michigan State. We're going to go with a two seed here in the South.
Okay, what about the East, Lee? I'm looking at Duke with an injured Cooper Flagg and everybody putting all their hopes on if he's going to be healthy or not. But they're the easy chalk pick to say they're going to run the table, but another interesting area of the country.
Well, Alabama, if they play them or one of these other teams, have to shoot lights out. Problem with Alabama, they don't play a stick of defense. I mean, look what Duke did with that Cooper Flagg in the tournament. I mean, they are that good. I've seen them three or four times this year come back from double digits in games and blow out teams. St. Mary's, if they can shoot a little bit better from three-point land, they could be a team that can do some damage. And BCU, no one knows about Virginia Commonwealth. They're getting 3, 3.5 against BYU in the first round. 28-6 overall, won 12 of the last 13. As far as metrics, top 40 on offense and defense here. I'll pick them against BYU. They could win a game or two.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite first-round matchups in the entire tournament. BYU, VCU, BYU, high-octane offense, VCU, that dominating defense. That'll be a fun matchup.
I just don't like the fact that they paired these two teams up against each other.
I agree.
Yeah.
Because I think both teams can win a couple games in the tournament, and then one has to be eliminated on Thursday. I agree with you there. Let's take a look at the West region. You mentioned Florida. Right. What are some first round games? You mentioned Colorado State over Memphis. Memphis potentially without their point guard. Who do you think is overrated, underrated in this region?
So in the West region, I think overrated could be, you know, there's not many overrated teams. It's just solid. Maybe Kansas as a 7 seed. This is not your daddy's Kansas team here. Not a very good team unless Landon Dickinson can score 20-25 points, get 10 or 14, 15 rebounds, and have a couple assists and a couple blocks. They're not going to beat Arkansas. I like Arkansas in that opening game. I think that Missouri might be a little underrated. There's an offensive team that can score over 37% from three-point land. They're just small. They only have one player above 6'5 that plays a lot of minutes. And why not Grand Canyon? School that no one knows about, this Grand Canyon team. One of the biggest schools as far as enrollment in the country here. And they're supporting their basketball team. They did well last year in the tournament, won an opening round, and think 10.5 points, probably a little too much for Maryland in the first round.
Midwest is interesting, Lee, simply because of the fact that one, like you said, when you're matching up teams, and I was, of course, drawn right away to Arkansas taking on Kansas, but then that Gonzaga-Georgia matchup, that is a very intriguing 8-9 that I think could go either way. There's a lot of interesting matchups as you move around the country.
Yeah, I like Georgia there as a 9 seed. I even like McNeese State to cover against Clemson. I think that could be a one-possession game. So McNeese State kind of under the radar, passes the ball well, doesn't turn the ball over. And you want a game that, scary game that could come down to the end. I like High Point, believe it or not, getting 8 points. They'll slow the ball down and take their time. They'd love to have a 61-58 game. Something tells you something's fishy when Purdue, as a 4 seed, isn't laying double digits against High Point. And finally, you want a blowout team that might boat race another team, UCLA over Utah State. UCLA's Thoroughbreds, I think, get the job done against the Aggies.
Lee, do you mess around with the first four at all? Two games today, two games tomorrow?
Yeah, we're going to have something. Yeah, anyone wants to get involved? You know, we won 7 of the last 8 tournaments. In fact, football, I didn't even want it to end. Normally, I'm ready to move on, even though football is my favorite. But we won every single game in the NFL playoffs, including the Super Bowl, 10-0 run. We had never done that before. We've only had 3 losing weeks in college basketball this year. They can get the entire tournament from tonight. We have both games, selections on both games, all the way through the final Monday, April 7th, just $197. That's going to be probably 25, 30 selections. Also, we'll throw in the UFC for you for the card this Saturday night. And how about baseball? Already had a winner go off early this morning, 5 a.m., start the game between the Cubs and the Dodgers. We had the first 5 innings under. We've won 5 straight years in baseball, too. So check out all the specials, ParamountSports.com, or give us a call, 800-400-9741.
Lee, enjoy the brackets. Enjoy March Madness. We'll talk soon.
You too, guys. Take care. Be safe.
Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports. He's ready to win, Blankers. You can hear it in his voice.
He's fired up, man. Those emotions, when he gets really feeling good about his picks, and obviously he's got plenty of reasons too. Boy, I love the emotion that he shows.
He undefeated NFL. He's won 7 of the last 8 NCAA tournaments. He's going to be cutting down the nets, I think, in early April, that Lee Sterling. Texted in a little bit late. He said, please ask about Wisconsin. But we have a guy from Wisconsin on the show. What do you think of the Badgers' chances, Blankus?
You and I talked about it. I think it's really tough to say that if they both win their opening, that, you know, you put Wisconsin against BYU and both teams are interesting because they've got size up front. They play really structured. I think Wisconsin's big keys are, look, they make all their free throws. They're a solid defensive team. They can shoot the three ball, including their bigs. But BYU can be athletic. BYU's versatile. And I think that if they get by BYU, I think that they could win another game. I think they're very structured. But they also are a team that fades quickly in the NCAA tournament, so I don't like to put any money on them.
I don't know, man. Right. It's Milwaukee, so I don't know if I can take your opinion seriously.
About Wisconsin, he can.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Do it about Wisconsin. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Just had Lee talk about March. So let's talk about March. Let's play our annual March Madness game. We'll explain when we come back. It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
It's time for the Killer Bees NCAA Tournament game, where the three of us have a snake draft. We draft college basketball teams. We are awarded a point for each win in the NCAA Tournament, and the high point total wins. Now, this is a three-week event. Lunch bet, drink bet.
Oh, I mean, we did this yesterday. I think we settled on lunch bet, right?
Yeah, lunch is fine.
And this was for the baseball. We didn't do this yesterday.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Okay. Yeah, I'm fine with the lunch bet.
Lunch bet for the three-week event. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sounds good. Loser pays the winner?
Yeah. Loser pays for the winner.
The middleman just gets to sit on the side. Or if there's a tie.
Then they split it.
They split a lunch. Loser's a tie for first. The loser has to pay two lunches or one lunch and the winner split.
He pays for one.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Cheap. All right. So how did you did the random generator here today, Brian, because you thought I cheated yesterday, so you had to do it today. How did it turn out?
Well, funny you ask. You came in first, so I'm wondering who that first pick will be.
Lady Luck is on my side.
Random order will be Jeremy, Joel, and then me. I will have the benefit of the back-to-back, but Jeremy, Joel, Brian.
How many rounds are we doing here? You want to do 4 or 6?
Did we do 6 last year?
I think we did six last year.
I thought we did 2, yeah.
I'm fine with 6.
You thought we did 2 or 6?
Well, I thought we did 6.
All right. I have the first pick, you said, Brian?
Yes.
I have the first pick?
Yes.
I'm going to go with the Houston Cougars. C-O-U-G-A-R-S. Houston Cougars. Give me the Cougars. I got the Cougars.
Take the Florida Gators.
Why do you like them?
Because their three guards are phenomenal.
They have a 7'9 dude who rides the bench.
He's redshirting, right?
Yeah, he's tall. He was cutting down the nets the other day, and he didn't need the ladder.
It's crazy.
He cut down the nets without a ladder?
If you've seen him like doing his pregame routine where he just stands flat-footed and holds the ball up, it's
scary. Can he move?
Nah. I don't know. I'm not sure. I've never seen him play. I've seen him like do like dunk like highlights coming out of high school, but I've never seen him like actually play in a game. I don't know if he can move.
All right, yeah. My two picks here. I won't make it that. That crazy here. I'm going to go with the other number one seeds. Give me Auburn and give me Duke.
Weak. Going chalk.
Yeah.
Look at that. So weak.
Okay. Joel?
I'm going to go with Tennessee.
Ooh, what do you like about them?
I think they're versatile.
Don't say Rick Barnes.
They're athletic. I think they can defend in their wings that they can defend. I think that they're deep.
Why don't you like Rick Barnes, Brian?
Because he never beat a team seeded higher than him during his time at Texas during the NCAA tournament.
Okay, so you never overachieved. Texas doesn't like guys who fail to overachieve.
Well, he was there for, what, 15 years? He can never beat one team seated higher?
Texas would be lucky to have Rick Barnes.
No, lucky. Truth. I mean, obviously, the Shaka Smart era didn't work out. Chris Beard obviously got kicked out for reasons off the court, but...
I think in retrospect, might have been much better off. Yeah,
in retrospect, sure, but man, I didn't enjoy the always coming up short.
Okay, so I get two picks here?
Yes.
Huh. Should I go chalk? Grant Nelson's availability worries me, but Nate Oates can coach. He's good in March. Very good offense. They play hard defensively. Give me the Alabama Crimson Tide. That's a basketball school. Give me the basketball school. Alabama, Roll Tide. SEC is now a basketball conference.
Grant Nelson, second one. They're thinking he's going to be back for the first round or no?
He's kind of questionable. But, Grant Nelson might not be their top two, top three player for Alabama.
Yeah, not the best player.
He's good. They need him. Like, to make a deep run, they need him. But I hope this is a long play. I'm thinking, second, third week. And they're two seeds. Hopefully they get to that second week. All right, the next one I'm going to go with a legendary Hall of Fame coach who just wins in March. It's what he does. Give me the Fighting Tom Izzos of Michigan State.
That's a good pick.
Thank you.
Yeah, I thought about it, but not this early. But yeah,
give me Izzo, baby. Izzo wins in March.
He really does.
January, February, Izzo, April.
Yeah, I'm going to go. It's mine?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's your pick. I want to just pick here. You want to trade it?
No. We'll go Texas Tech.
Damn. I'm surprised you didn't take Wisconsin there.
Because I'm not stupid. I never bet with my heart, and I'm also smart enough to realize Wisconsin, as I told you, has shortcomings in the tournament. I think Texas Tech, if they're healthy, can play with just about anybody.
I really hope they're healthy because that Hawkins point guard's electric. Now, he's been healthy, but he's small but fast and quick. Chance McMillan's that dude can shoot. Hopefully he's healthy. Darion Williams, fantastic. And then they had the Big 12 Player of the Year in JT Toppin. JP, electric. And Grant McCaffrey can really coach.
Is Toppin related to Obi?
No.
Really?
Yeah, I thought so too. And then I did I did the prep that I was doing, and they're not related. I thought so. Like I assumed that as well.
I did too.
But then whenever we played them the first time, I realized they weren't. All right, Brian, you have two. What round is this?
Yeah, that's two rough. I was hoping Izzo and Texas Tech made it to me here. First pick, I'll go ahead and go with St. John's. Give me Rick Pitino.
How about Rick Pitino being disrespected in the Killer Bee March Madness draft? Sleeping on Rick Pitino we're a Perkins waitress.
I thought it was an Italian restaurant.
Wow, it was an Italian restaurant.
Yeah, it was an Italian restaurant.
That was Tiger. Tiger was the Perkins.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? For my next pick, this is I feel like this is a bit risky. They've dealt with some injuries, but a good offensive team. Give me Kentucky.
Ooh. Kentucky, huh?
Yeah, I want the offensive upside. I know they've had a lot of injuries, so it's pretty risky. But I'll take the offensive upside there.
I'm a Mark Pope fan. He was at BYU, of course, so I got to see him coach up close and personal. I'm a big fan of him. I thought Kentucky, like a lot of people, didn't like that hire last year of Mark Pope. I was like that. They knocked it out of the park. That's fantastic. He had a really good first year. If they didn't have the injury bugs that Brian alluded to, I think you're looking at a top two seed. If they would have been healthy the whole year.
And the interesting thing is the program he left is in good shape, too. Because BYU, you would think that they would be suffering a little bit. They look really good for the next couple of years.
They have good NIL money there at BYU, which is good. Good for them. Good for them. You're up, Lakers.
Yeah. Man. I'm going to go with Arizona.
Okay, Big 12, I see you.
Yeah, Arizona, Love is playing good ball right now. The good Love is back on track. They've got some athleticism and some size. I'm going to go Arizona.
Okay.
Wasn't going to go A&M.
First one will go Iowa State here. I know that they had some injury concerns. Hopefully Lipsy's okay, because if Lipsy's fine, I still think they can win a few games in this tournament. They'll be without Keyshawn Gilbert. For the entire NCAA tournament, which is a loss. That is a big loss for them. But they still have some firepower with Lipsy, with Curtis Jones, with Milan Montilovic. And I think Otts is a good coach, too. So I'll go Iowa State there on my first pick. This one's a little bit more difficult now. What round is this, Brian?
You've made four picks.
This round five?
Yeah, this is round five.
Okay. Give me Maryland.
Give me
the Terps.
Yeah.
But they have a nickname. They're calling them, like, the Terp 5, I think.
I don't know.
Yeah, I missed that one.
I'm a big fan. Oh, the Crab 5. They call them the Crab 5.
That's right.
Yeah,
I've heard
Maryland.
That. Yep.
The Crab 5. So I'm taking the Crab 5. I'm a big fan of Queen. Queen can go. Derek Queen, talented freshman. Probably going to be a one-and-done guy. Probably be a top 10, 15 pick.
Freddie Mercury.
In the upcoming NBA draft. What's that?
Freddie Mercury, one of the all-time frontmen for a band. Big fan of Queen. Never mind. Never mind, Jeremy. Go ahead.
It's your pick.
I thought he had... I thought you had
I went to Iowa State, Maryland. I went the Crab 5, baby.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's on you, Joel.
All right.
Cyclones of the Crab 5.
I'm going to go Texas A&M.
Foundation of love.
Yeah. Buzz. All right. I like Buzz as a
they
coach.
They defend.
They play defense. Shooting worries me at times, but they've got experience with Taylor. I'm hoping to God that they win a couple games.
That much, huh?
Yeah.
Well, Easterby's there, so he'll help you out.
Praise.
Yeah, where's my drum? There's
shout
my
out drum. To the fish.
Shout out to the fish. Okay, so my last two picks here. Give me offensive teams. I'm going to go offense here. Forget this defense wins championships. Give me Missouri, the best basketball conference in America. And a little bit of a surprise here, but out of the Big 12, give me BYU. Let's see if they get hot.
You did go offense, didn't you? You didn't want to go Texas.
No. I don't think they make it past Thursday or Wednesday.
He's over here bashing Rick Barnes, and he's poo-pooing on Texas. Talk about talking out of both sides of your tea-sipping mouth.
Tea-sipping. Is it me?
Yeah, it's you.
I'm gonna go with Memphis.
The Tigers?
Yeah. I mean, look, they got a ton of talent. Like, we talked about this.
Told you they're going down round one.
I don't think that they are.
Are you calling Lee dumb?
I'm calling Lee a liar on that one. I'm going Memphis. Yes.
So wrong team favorite.
Lee didn't really know who Tyrese Hunter was and the fact that he might not play. He's like, why is Colorado State such a big favorite in this game? Well, Lee... Memphis might be without their point guard. Just saying. So I had the last pick here, huh?
Yes.
I can do a variety of things. Man, I don't want to take it's. This is the first time that I pulled up the betting favorite odds to win this whole thing. You know, Gonzaga has the 11th best odds to win the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, they got no talent.
I thought about it. According to Lee, they It was Reed yesterday.
That's right.
Yeah. I thought about
them.
They're rated so high in KenPom, but man,
it's just crazy that they're an 8 seed and they have the 11th best odds to win the. They have better odds than Maryland, a 4 seed, 3 seed Wisconsin, 3 seed Kentucky, 4 seed A&M, 5 seed Clemson, 4 seed Purdue, 5 seed Michigan. 5-seed Oregon. Like, how is Gonzaga not a 4-seed?
They're a scary, scary team, and they're well-coached, too. With plenty of experience in the tournament with few.
Is it, 9 straight years in the Sweet 16?
Zags are damn good.
9 straight years in the Sweet 16. Isn't that crazy that they're the, what did I say, 11th, 10th or 11th?
11th.
Highest favored team, 11th favored team to win the NCAA tournament. KenPom at 9, mm-hmm. and they're an 8-seed. Like, what in the world was the committee doing? Memphis was a 5. Louisville was an 8. It was the worst committee ever. Sorry.
Well, they got that bonus. That one guy got that bonus, though, so. Bubba got his bonus.
Bubba got his bonus. I don't know what to do here. Let's see. I don't want to.
Already wrote in Gonzaga. I thought you were going there.
No, I can't do it. Heck with it. Give me Wisconsin. I'm a bigger Wisconsin fan than Blankers.
Okay,
I'm
good.
A bigger Wisconsin fan
I don't know,
than
man.
Joel
Blank. You're Milwaukee, so I don't know if I can take your opinion seriously.
Hope you want to talk about what do they call it? The capital of dairy? What do y'all call it?
America's
Dairyland. America's Dairyland. I am Mr. America's Dairyland. You've now given that throne and that title to me. You Blankers are no longer from Madison, Wisconsin. Actually, where are you from? Milwaukee?
Milwaukee.
You're no longer from Milwaukee. I have now taken the grasp of being Mr. Midwest on this show.
Okay.
You passed him up.
Okay.
Give me the fight, Greg Gards.
Enjoy those winters. Bring your shovel and your ice scraper.
It's only in March. It's only a one-month thing.
It's snowing in March, right?
It's only a one-month thing.
Oh, is it? I've never been to Wisconsin.
Watch the NFL draft
guess.
And see if we don't get some snow.
No, I knew. Okay. Yeah, good point. Good point.
I am Mr. Midwest. Was it Drake that was Mr. Worldwide? I think it was Drake, right?
No, that's Pitbull.
Oh, Pitbull is Mr. Worldwide.
Oh, yeah. What's Drake? Drake has a nickname, doesn't he?
Kendrick gave him a lot of nicknames at one point.
Was Russell Wilson Mr. Unlimited or whatever?
Yeah, Unlimited.
Mr. Unlimited. So Russell Wilson was Mr. Unlimited.
Drake's
Pitbull's
A-minor.
Mr. Worldwide. Branham's Mr. Midwest.
We could drop the West.
Mr. Mid. Oh, dang. It's messed up, Brian.
Damn, he drilled you on that one.
Pretty good, but it's messed up. He got me. That was well played. I tip my cap to you, sir. Todd says Culver's is greater than Whataburger. Facts. That is true.
Where'd that come from?
I'm Mr. Midwest.
Okay.
Because Culver's is a Midwest thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Todd's originally from the Mill.
Milwaukee. Really? Yeah. Dre's nominating me for car wreck of the day for saying Drake is not Mr. Worldwide. Yeah, my bad. I don't know my Drake as much as you do. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Do you want to recap the draft, Brian?
I can, but I must have missed one of Joel's picks. I only have five teams written down for them. But I can tell you Jeremy has the Cougars, Bama, the Izzos, Iowa State, Maryland, and Wisconsin. I have Auburn, Duke, St. John's, Kentucky, Mizzou, and BYU. And then Joel has Florida, Tennessee, Texas Tech, Arizona, Memphis, and I must have missed
A&M.
One. A&M, that was the other one. Okay.
How could you miss them, Brian? Texas
Foundational love.
I mean, home of the Aggs right here.
I think that might have been a joke.
No, sadly it wasn't. It just worked out that way.
Forgettable. I think I'm going to win this thing.
You thought that last year, too.
Did I win?
No.
No, Joel
did. Sure?
I did.
Yeah, Joel did.
I'm very sure.
Oh, he had UConn.
Yeah, we scored it differently last year, so the championship win outweighed everything else.
Yeah, Trey's making fun of me in the Twitch. I don't know why he's surprised. I'm not cool. Like, I don't know why he would think I am. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Cash them or trash them with the Bees. What are you cashing? What are you trashing? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Prepare for overreaction on my mark.
It's that time of the week where overreactions are welcome.
They say Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time, but he never fought Cassius Clay. What was he afraid of? Boom! Hot take!
It's cash 'em.
That is so good. That's exactly right.
Or trash 'em.
This is your hot take.
Seems like an overreaction.
With a killer bees.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Looks like, DeVries is going to Indiana. He's leaving West Virginia.
Ooh, McAfee's not going to be happy.
Hoosiers. Imagine being a West Virginia fan right now, man. I feel bad for them. You get snubbed because the UNCAD is the committee chair, and then you lose your head coach to Indiana, like all within a few days.
They thought he was going to Iowa because I think he's from Iowa, or he went there.
Darren DeVries. Probably going to take his son to Indiana, too, I bet.
Yeah, he can play, right? He was hurt.
He can. He was out for
the
whole year.
You mean the guy that was out the whole year?
Yeah, but he can
play. The guy that played nine games, and then Bubba Cunningham said that, whoa, we had to take his injury into account. Bro, he played nine games. They played their last 22 games without him. What are you talking about? Yeah, he's from Applington, Iowa. You ever been there?
Where?
Applington, Iowa?
Nope. I've been to Appleton, Wisconsin, but not Applington, Iowa. Yeah, I've been to lots of places in Iowa.
Appleton, Wisconsin. It's not a. He played at Northern Iowa, too. But, yeah, he's going to be the head coach at Indiana. That'll be fun to see what he can do there. Really good coach, though. West Virginia will get somebody good, too. But DeVries was – he was a really good coach. All right, 713-780-ESPN. This texture already says I'm cashing Joel's picks out of the three of y'all. A white thumb up emoji.
Good call.
Bad taste, that guy.
Did you see this? The SIUE over Houston is the most picked upset 16 versus 1 in the ESPN people's brackets. Those people are idiots.
Of a 16 over a 1?
The highest percentage of upsets of the 16-1 matchups is SIUE over Houston. Not going to happen.
I mean, they're probably the best 16 seed. Like, did you want them to pick against Auburn, Duke, or?
Look, I, you know what?
One of them's got to be the highest one.
Yeah, I just don't like it. I'm very defensive of.
What is it like? 3%?
Yes,
1%?
3%.
Yeah. Plus, it's the public.
I'll tell you who's in your back pocket. Has been in the Cougs' back pocket all year is Fran Fraschilla.
Yeah, he's a Big 12 guy.
Well, boy, does he love him some Cougs. I love that he loves the Cougs. He said he went chalk and picked all 4-1 seeds, but he's going with the Cougs.
Yeah. I just don't really care that much about people's opinions. Fran picking them all, like, does that matter? Does the public having SIUE as the best chance to upset a 1 at less than 1%? Like, to me, it just doesn't move the needle a whole lot. Like, who's filling out these brackets? Like, a bunch of Twitchers? Like, yeah, they don't know what they're doing. Which, by the way, you can enter our ESPN.
In his underwear, living in his mother's basement.
ESPN975.com under the promotions tab. All right, what are you cashing or trashing, Blinkers?
I am tired of the hype. I am cashing the fact that the Lakers aren't even going to make the Western Conference Finals. I know ESPN's pushing for it, and everybody's on Luka watch, and when LeBron comes back, and when they do, look out. I don't think that the Lakers even make the Western Conference Finals.
Okay. Are you moving off of this? Did you? Was there a time that you thought that they were?
No, I just get sick and tired of ESPN's overhype. I mean, you know, now it's, you know, Kendrick Perkins all over the fact not only they're the only story that makes the NBA worth watching, but now it's that Luke is getting comfortable, look out, stop it. When they have to play a big front line, I think they're going to, in a world of hurt, LeBron's got to guard, like, big guys down low. I just think the hype's overdone.
Yeah. I mean, matchup, their path, I think, matters here, right? Because how many teams would you pick to beat the Lakers in the West in a 7-game series?
Thunder.
Denver. Thunder for sure.
Denver.
Green.
So what if they somehow get in a path where they don't have to play either team? Because that's possible. Like, if they jump Denver and they're the 3 seed, then now you have to beat Golden State in round 1. If you win that, then you beat the Rockets in round 2, and you're in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, I think Memphis can beat the Lakers because they have size up front.
Well, they could avoid them too.
Well, they're going to have to do a whole lot of ducking to get there. If you can trash it, but I just don't think they're going to make it.
It's really not that unlikely. Like, if they jump Denver, they're the 3 seed, and let's just assume they jump Denver. Now they play Golden State in round 1. If they win that, they play the Rockets in the winner of the play-in. So the path matters a lot.
I think Golden State's a handful for them.
Who are you picking in a 7-game series, Lakers or Golden State?
Golden State.
Wow, okay. All right. I'm on the fence with this one because I think the path matters a lot. But I'm going to cash it. I'll cash it.
Yeah, I'll cash it. There's 4 teams I'd pick over the Lakers. So yeah, like Jeremy laid out, the path matters. They could get lucky and avoid the teams that caused them problems. But I'll go ahead and cash it.
Yeah, plus, I just hate LeBron, so... I want to root against them, so there's that part of it, too. Cash or trash, let's get rid of these NCAA committees and hire a bunch of the best bracketologists to do the field. That way you don't have these bonuses on the line, these six-figure bonuses. You mostly get rid of all of, like, the affiliation bias to these schools. And do you think Bubba Cunningham and a bunch of admin people are better at bracketologists than these computer nerds that do this for a living?
I'll cash it. I think, you know, in years past, we've had other guys that are under the scrutiny for similar things. I just get tired of this committee and they all get to sit in these big recliners and their say-so matters more so than guys that are watching every minute of every game of every conference. And a lot of these guys, it's almost like from the standpoint of I take the analysts that are covering, you know, doing TV and radio, especially the TV guys that are doing game after game all season long, to have a better understanding of, you know, what makes a tournament team versus what doesn't. So I'm with you on that. I'll cash it.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and cash it too. I would be worried a little bit about the computer models because then you could have, I mean, we talked about Gonzaga being the number 19 on KenPom. I mean, Gonzaga's season didn't, you know, necessarily warrant a top three seed, so that would be a problem. But I'd rather have that than these guys with bonuses on the line picking the bracket. So I'll go ahead and cash it.
3 seed would have been a better seed for them than an 8 seed.
True. Obviously, the truth is in the middle, but that would be my concern with the computer models.
All right, let's get to some on the let's get to Brian's. I mean,
well, thank you for setting the table there.
Wasn't there one week I forgot?
What a lead in.
There was 1 week I forgot, right?
Huh? Yeah, there was.
There was one week.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Because I made it my car wreck of the day, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I almost forgot again today.
I could tell. I think Yordan Alvarez, for the first time in his career, gets the 40 home runs this season. He's 35 last year. 37 is his career high a few years ago. Obviously, injury is always a concern. He's had mysterious hand injuries, oblique injuries, a knee injury that cost him all of 2020. But I think this is the year Yordan Alvarez gets the 40 home runs.
Cash that thing. I like it. I want it to happen. I'm gonna wish it into existence as well. I'm going to support you, Brian. Maybe you'll do the same to me someday.
Did y'all see the Yordan Alvarez news today?
No.
Don't do this.
Sore thumb, scratch from the lineup.
Oh, sore thumb. I'm fine with that. There's 2 weeks. Well, yeah. A week and a half to go.
He was hitchhiking to Kissimmee and hurt his thumb.
He's counting too many dollar bills.
Yordan. Actually, Click ripped him off.
Kind of did.
I'm going to hedge this. I'm going to hedge this because I have Yordan in the who leads the Astros in home runs. And then also, y'all have heard of Branham foot and mouth. Whenever I say something, It always goes the other way. So because I love Yordan and I love the Houston Astros and I want him to hit 40 home runs, I'm going to trash this.
Trash.
Branham foot and mouth in mind. So it's kind of like the reverse jinx. So trash it. That way we can play this back at the end of the season when Yordan hits 58 home runs. But look at this idiot that said this. Branham foot and mouth it. I Branham foot and mouth this into existence.
Like
so
that.
For that reason and that reason alone, I trash it.
Trash.
There we go. I'm a team player. We not me. Texter, Culver's is the Chick-fil-A of burgers. Whataburger's a joke now. Cash or trash?
Oh, I'm not going to say Whataburger's a joke.
Yeah.
Trash.
I'll cash the Culver's. Hey, Culver's burgers are fantastic. Best fast food burger in the game. But I still like Whataburger. Whataburger's not a joke. I still like it.
Yeah,
it's not number one.
Good.
Yeah, it's not number one. It's probably not even number two. But it's still good. I still like it. Cash or trash, McCullers does not get out of the second inning tonight.
Is he supposed to go? Is he on a pitch
count?
His last
bullpen was 40 pitches.
It's a troll text. Espada said he's going one inning. So, yes, cash
it. Yeah.
Nice try, Texter. Silly Texter. Uh-huh. Cash this. Rockets will win the division and get the third seed. Cash or trash? I don't even look at divisions in basketball.
Yeah, I'm going to...
Let me pull that up real
quick.
I'm going
to trash it. I think they're going to be the 4 or 5. I said
they're
5. I'm going to be 5. I think they're going to be the 5.
I mean, 3 so exact. Like, they could end up from anywhere to 2nd to 5th, likely. So I guess I'll trash it because of hashtag math.
Trash.
But I do think they're going to win the division. So, trash.
How many games did you say they're up on?
Just one.
Just one. They do have the tiebreaker also, so that factors in, but...
Yeah. Do you think they'll hang Co Midwest banners?
I hope they don't pull tied? Up Indianapolis Colts now.
It's been a while since
not
they
Midwest,
won anything.
It's Southwest.
Don't put it past
I don't even know the names. I don't even know the names of the division.
Southwest.
They play in the
Southwest division. Yes.
That's how little I pay attention to divisions in basketball.
Yeah, I can't remember
it's
last
Eastern
time I heard about
Conference, Western
division.
Conference.
Yeah.
Do you know how many divisions there are in the NBA?
6.
Yeah, there are 6. Yeah, I don't care about divisions in the NBA. Just not my thing. All right, let's get to Mock Drafts Great Again. Let's make Mock Drafts Great Again, and today we do it with Daniel Jeremiah's Mock. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Look, if you're trying to get away for the weekend, I don't blame you. I would be doing the same thing. You get off work, head on down to Two Creeks Crossing Resort. It's beautiful out there. Open green spaces, beautiful wildlife and majestic trees. Also, some of the best fishing in Texas. You're going to love that. You can't beat that. Escape the rat race. Get away from the hustle and bustle of the job, traffic, coworkers, whatever is causing you stress. I had the best weekend idea for you, and I already said it. Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Escape the city. Enjoy the relaxing, great outdoors. Book your stay now at twocreekscrossingresort.com. It's just 90 minutes from Houston, so you can escape the city without spending the entire day traveling, and you can do that with Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Whether you're dropping a line or you're hiking on their 92-acre property, kayaking, pickleball courts, or just to have a drink by the pool, you can do it all at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. They have something for everybody. One weekend, they're going to have a barbecue cook-off. They're going to have a crawfish boil the next. You're always going to have a great time at Two Creeks Crossing. Get away from the stress. Get away from the anxiety and get out to Two Creeks Crossing, whether it's the glamping, the cabins, the treehouse, or pull up the RV. They have the perfect stay for anyone. Book your weekend escape now at twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD 97.9 HD2.
Listening to the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. I didn't know a spot has said that about my colors. Good trash, laughing face emoji. Making mock drafts great again. By the way, we're talking football. A little bit later, Glenn Davis will be talking football. He'll be also doing it live, by the way. 2-hour remote at Senate Avenue Brewing. New spot. Glenn Davis will be there from 6 to 8. Live Soccer Matters, live remote at Senate Ave Brewing. So get on out there, hang out with Glenn Davis. The funny thing, though, is during the show, while Glenn is there from Soccer Matters, you have to drink your beer, your pint, with your feet.
Okay.
Great the joke, Joel.
0.0.
You're just bitter because I always make fun of your poor jokes.
No.
All right, let's get to
take it the way
making,
you dish it out. Joe George is going to be there. You can drink beer with
that's
Joe.
That's true. Joe will be there.
Yeah.
We're trying to sell the show. We're trying to sell Soccer Matters here, Blankers.
Yeah, we wanted people to go.
There's a reason I didn't mention Joe.
He's a good backstop.
We're trying to sell
it. He's a good goalie.
Yeah, he can use his hands.
I don't know.
All right.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead. No, it's all right. Go ahead.
No, I was going to bash Joe Moore, but it's fine. Let's keep going.
Yeah. All right. So Daniel Jeremiah, the best mock drafter in the business, and I stand on that. I stand on business when it comes to Daniel Jeremiah. 10 toes down with Daniel Jeremiah. So he released his Daniel Jeremiah mock draft 3.0. Everybody knows the rules. We look to see who the Texans pick. Then we use the next three picks. We make the decision ourselves. But just along the way, he has Cam Ward going number one to Tennessee. So No. You know, there's some thought that Tennessee might not draft a quarterback or might trade down. Jeremiah says, Cam Ward, number one. Abdul Carter, two. That'd be a scary pairing, by the way, with Abdul Carter and Myles Garrett. Like, pretty terrifying. He has Shedeur Sanders going to the Giants at three. That'll make Todd happy. Travis Hunter drops to four to New England. Jalen Walker rounds out the top five. Ashton Jeanty goes all the way to number six. Do you think top five comes into play for Jeanty at all?
I have never thought. I thought the highest is top 10. I did not think he could get into the top five. I know that his stock is rising, and I just think that's too high for a running back. I'm going to say no.
Yeah, he's a stud, though. I think six is in play. I tend to think top five's not, but, like, also, like, I don't know. Like, Jacksonville, they have an offensive head coach now with Liam Cohen and Duval. ETN's kind of been
Duval.
Not great. So
and
maybe he can sneak to the top five.
Problems.
Yeah, like maybe he can sneak into the top five. But I think I would probably bet that he'll be a top seven pick. And I usually agree with that sentiment that, like, don't draft running backs that high. But I think Jeanty's different, man. I think Jeanty's pretty dang
I don't know if the
good.
Jets would take him. They've already got Breece.
Yeah.
Well,
Jets have pick seven.
Yeah, well, you said top seven. That's why I mentioned the Jets.
I don't think he gets past the Raiders. I think the Raiders are a lock for him. I think that's his floor.
The Patriots really need a running back before. It's just so damn high for a running back. I don't like
especially Ramondre, if you have Hunter on the board.
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't think the Patriots have a need there, but the four is way too high.
I think he could go five or six, and I think it's one of those two. One of those two. Anyway, scrolling down, he has Matthew Golden going 12 to Dallas. Like, dang. Matthew Golden, number 12? Go Cougs.
That's a huge climb, man.
It's always weird when guys, months after their last games has been played, just keep rising and rising and rising.
Combine, baby.
I don't know.
Combine, pro day. Interviews.
We talked about the fact that there's no, like, 1A-type wide receiver, but him going that high, I guess, good compliment.
I think McMillan's 1A. I think McMillan's easily the best receiver in this draft. I really do. I think he's going to be easily the best receiver in this draft.
Dan Jeremiah disagrees. Yeah, and I heard from I don't think it was Lance. I'm not sure. Maybe it was Lance too. That there were questions about attitude and things, but I'm not sure.
No, he's got a terrific attitude. Okay. Tyler Warren, number 14. Colston Loveland, number 18, the tight end from Michigan. I wouldn't hate him at 25, but he's gone in this draft. Omarion Hampton, the running back from North Carolina, goes 20 to Denver. Jackson Dart goes 21 to the Steelers. The McMillan guy that I love falls to 22 to the Chargers. All right, to the Texans. Number 25, Kelvin Banks, Jr. There's your tackle. He's a Houston Texan, according to Daniel Jeremiah. How would you feel about the Banks pick?
I would feel good with it simply because of the fact that I don't feel good at what they've done so far. The addition by subtraction is one thing, getting rid of 3/5 of your line from a year ago, but I don't like the way that they've filled those spots and brought guys in. So if this is what we have to deal with so far, then Banks is a guy that I've got to support, because as much as I cringe at Nick taking offensive linemen in the draft, they need help.
Yeah, if Banks is the pick, I'm totally okay with it. Now, let's put your feet into Nick Caserio's very small shoes. You get the option of Kelvin Banks, the offensive tackle from Texas. Maybe he can play interior. Trey Amos, who's the corner from Ole Miss. Derek Harmon, the Oregon defensive tackle. Or Mykel Williams, the Georgia defensive end. Your option of those four, who's your pick, Blankers?
This is an easy one for me, because I think that it's the position of most need. I think that, you know, they've already brought Darby in as an extra corner. I don't think that they're going to draft corner this year in the first round. To me, it's either wide receiver or offensive line. And since everything I just said about the fact that I don't like what they've done so far to try and replenish the offensive line, I'll go Banks.
Yeah, this is going to be a landslide. I would go Banks as well. The only other one that I would be in the conversation, because I'm not looking for an edge, especially late first round, you're right about corner. I wouldn't hate this idea next year,
right,
if you move on from Jalen Petrie and you move Kamari Lassiter inside, but it's not a move you're making this year. The only other one I would push for would be Derek Harmon, the defensive tackle, because I do think that the Texans could use some help in the interior. Not that they were bad or not that they're going to be bad, but, you know, just a fixture, like a piece that you can pencil in for the next 4 years with Will Anderson. So a defensive tackle I wouldn't hate at number 25, but I'm not picking Derek Harmon over Kelvin Banks. Easy for me. I'm assuming Brian's going to make this unanimous.
Yeah, it's unanimous. I would like the Texans to draft corner and defensive tackle at some point in the draft, maybe even second, third round, but both of those spots you're probably, at least for 2025, drafting backups. You already have your starters. So, to me, you can't pass on whether it's guard or tackle, and I think it'd probably be guard this year. You can't draft on someone that would profile as a starting offensive lineman, considering the current state of this offensive line.
Yeah, and we assume he's starting for the Texans, right, Kelvin Banks?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I mean, Lakin Tomlinson's not a starter.
I don't know, though. I think this year that they're going to give him every opportunity to possibly turn into
one. That's not a good thing, though.
I know it's not.
He might be given that, but that's not a good thing.
My goodness, he was singing his praises. I'm like, well, it's one thing to say he's durable and he'll play in you know, all the games, but
he's Kenyon Green in a different jersey.
Is he going to be any good?
What did he say about Lincoln?
He said Lincoln is?
Yeah.
That's a bad drop. Lincoln might not be that talented, but the dude's a dog. Like, he might not be very good, but he's not like on his heels and passive and soft. Yeah, but it's just different. Like, you can have two guys that are playing at a 50, and one of them very, very soft, and one of them's like a dog, and there's a difference. Like, okay. I'm not saying, to me, they're totally different players.
I'm not talking about their personality, so if that way I misspoke, my bad. I was talking, like, you look at their, I believe it was the 101 pass, you know, pass success rate or whatever it was, that stat was that came out for guards right after they made the signing of Tomlinson, then also the trade for Ed Ingram. And last year, Kenyon Green was third worst, but Ed Ingram was first worst, and Tomlinson was fourth worst. So
I think personality
all three guys
matters,
are
though.
Top or worst bottom five.
Like, to me, personality comes into play. I
That's
find
fair.
the older that I get, the further I get away from numbers. Like, you could Pro Football Focus me, Kenyon Green's a 50 and Lakin Tomlinson's a 50, but you see Kenyon Green that's kind of passive, he's kind of soft, he's kind of just going through the motions. Like, give me the dude who might have equal production but plays hard. Like, to me, it's pretty obvious. Like, whatever.
Yeah,
all right,
713. Go ahead, but I would side on that. Like, I guess I'd rather have Tomlinson than Green. I just don't think it's an upgrade to the point where you don't
Matt
need
Miller
a
say?
Starter there.
Matt Miller was
solid, if not sensational.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
he was pretty big.
He was really
pretty
big
lofty.
On it.
Yeah, I thought he went too far. That Matt Miller. That's why he bumped down to number two on my mock draft power ranking, and it's why Daniel Jeremiah is the number one. I got like Mel Kiper 3. I got that dude from CBS at like 4. I got a couple Pro Football guys. They're like 6, 5, and 6. There's some athletic guys that I really like from like 7 to 8, and maybe even 9 to 10. There's even a USA Today guy I really like. I would probably have those 11 guys in my mock draft power rankings.
Yeah, I'll go with
you. Those 11 specifically. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Kelvin Banks is running away with the early voting, by the way. 95% of the vote. Yeah, this was a pretty easy one that Daniel Jeremiah gave us. Let's get to our Astros game. Yesterday we picked our home run leader for the Astros. I got Yordan Alvarez. Yay, me. All right, today we do the RBI leader. Who's going to lead the Astros in home runs? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD 97.9 HD2.